But I think for a lot of these startup businesses, they're discovering there's a big gap between, you know, fiber-delivered broadband services that they can get and then everything else in the market as far as the service that they can get. And I think that's where this network comes in.
Hello, this is the Community Broadband Bits podcast from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. I'm Lisa Gonzalez. Many of us dream of living in regions surrounded by natural beauty, such as mountain communities, the open range, or lush forests. Unfortunately, these geographies are not necessarily ripe with broadband networks. A growing number of these communities are organizing to take control of their situations and invest in fiber networks for economic development. In Bozeman, Montana, a group of community leaders, businesses, and residents have moved beyond an idea to work toward better connectivity. In this podcast, Chris touches base with several guests in Bozeman: Britt Fontenot, the City of Bozeman Economic Development Director; David Fine, City Economic Development Specialist and Project Manager for the Bozeman Fiber Initiative; and Anthony Kokenauer, who is President of Local Hoplite Industries. In addition to being a local business leader, Anthony is also working on the Bozeman Fiber Initiative. In this discussion, Britt, David, and Anthony describe how they've moved from vision to reality. They talk about their inclusive approach to keep providers engaged, and they discuss their long-term plan for the network. Each week, we bring you the latest on municipal networks and telecommunications through the Community Broadband Bits podcast, and we don't share any annoying advertisements, but we sure could use your support. Please take a moment to go to ilsr.org and click on the orange donate button. Or you can also click on donate at muninetworks.org. Every contribution is appreciated. Now here are Chris, Britt, David, and Anthony discussing the Bozeman Fiber Initiative.
Welcome to another edition of the Community Broadband Bits podcast. I'm Chris Mitchell, and today I've got a bunch of guests on the phone. We're going to talk about Bozeman, Montana. We're going to start with Britt Fontenot, the City of Bozeman Economic Development Director. Welcome to the show, Britt.
Thanks, Chris. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
We're also going to have David Fine, the Economic Development Specialist and Project Manager for Bozeman Fiber Initiative. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris.
And we've also got Anthony Kokenauer, the President of Hoplite Industries and a private business representative that's working on the plan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I'd like to start by going to Britt and asking you, for people who haven't ever heard of Bozeman or haven't had the pleasure of spending a night or two there like I have, how would you describe it?
Thanks, Chris. So Bozeman, Montana is a Rocky Mountain community situated about 80 miles to the west of Yellowstone National Park, to the north and west of Yellowstone National Park. So we consider ourselves not only a gateway community to all things outdoors, but we're also the home of the land grant institution for the state of Montana, Montana State University. So we're very proud of that association and to host them in our city of Bozeman. We're about a city of about 40,000, and so we've got we're a growing community, one of the fastest growing communities in the state of Montana, both in terms of population and our economy. And so my role at the City of Bozeman is to try and understand where that's headed and see what we can do to provide good economic development projects that will keep growing our economy, diversifying our industries, and creating jobs.
And I'd like to ask Anthony, can you describe a little bit what the need is like there? I mean, I think a lot of people, when they think of a city in Montana, they may think extractive industries first, but you sound like you're a very sophisticated next generation, next economy kind of company.
Yeah, we actually have a very diversified mix of geography considered. We're pretty heavily diversified with high tech, biomedical, photonics, healthcare and kind of healthcare research, and as well as complementing all the agricultural extractive industries that you may consider when you see large mountains and beautiful valleys, things of that nature. I would say that the need is, regardless of the size or location of the community, really kind of comes down to three basic areas, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but as we see it, it's economic development to continue that broad-based, diversified economic development that fits what we're after here as a community and as a region. The second is really education. 2014-2015 school year is Montana's first year for Common Core curriculum, so that has significant impact in terms of network and internet resources for all of our public education institutions. The third really is healthcare. now with a large number, and fortunately a growing number, of critical access hospitals, rural clinics, things of that nature. The key enabler for those is, of course, broadband and accessible diversified services. So those are really, as we sat down to quantify, what is there a need, what is the need, and how do we articulate that, those were the three that kept coming up, and those have really been the underpinning for what we've tried to deliver.
I'd like to dig into a little bit of the process that you went through. And so, David, as the project manager, maybe you can walk us through the point at which, you as a representative of the city of Bozeman, how did the city of Bozeman discover that it had a need? And what steps did you start taking to bring this conversation around?
Sure. Well, I came to the project kind of in the middle of the exploratory phase. But there was actually a really robust group of stakeholders that had kind of organically formed a steering committee. And I think Britt could probably talk a little bit more about how the steering committee formed, because I think having these people come forward and invest so much of their time is a big part of the reason we've gotten to this point with this project.
Yeah, Britt, how did the group of stakeholders come together?
So over a year ago, the former CIO of MSU, DeWitt Latimer, and I were discussing some of his goals as a new CIO at Montana State University, what he saw as some potential, not only for town gown opportunities between the university and the city, but some real impactful projects that had the potential in economic development terms, to really change the way we do business, if you would pardon the pun there. And DeWitt had a lot of experience coming from the University in Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. So he took what he had learned there with the St. Joe County MetroNet, and he really thought he was inspired to do something similar to that here in Bozeman. And for those that knew DeWitt, knew how much he added to our community in the short time as he was here. But unfortunately, DeWitt passed away in a motorcycle accident at the very front end of this. But his effort and spirit and vision continued to live on. And so it was with his real credibility, he reached out to many of the stakeholders that are on the broadband steering committee, including even up to today, including Anthony, who's on the phone now, and others like Dr. Doug Gale and Rob Gilmore, Matt Johnson from the banking community. We've got other private sector individuals in the computing industry, but also financial figures and private sector business persons. And so we really tried to round out a group of community stakeholders who could buy into the vision of moving Bozeman from a sort of adequate service to what we consider to be robust, redundant, and 21st century service, to set our community up for the future.
The way that you've addressed this group coming together, I think, happens in a lot of different places, where you have a few people who have positions in the community of leadership, and they call some of their friends and they get together. But it doesn't always result in this kind of approach where you actually have results so quickly. I'm curious, Anthony, if you can identify anything that really helped to make sure the steering committee turned into a real viable project.
I think the two elements that stand out there, Chris, really come down to just fortitude, not taking no for an answer. Not that we really encountered a lot of no's, but we definitely had our mindset on positive outcomes. And I think that really bolstered all of the broad and deep relationships that we have, even up to and including carriers such as CenturyLink and Charter Communications, as well as the many, many rural co-ops and independent ISPs that I think especially the private sector folks on the committee involved in this project brought to the table. And we started socializing the notion of open access, and that some of the open access and open arms type policy. We started socializing that early and often to really let the private sector players know that we weren't here to compete with them. In fact, we're here to enable their businesses and allow them to hit the ground running faster. And I think it was that combination of just really sticking to it and being persistent with it, and also making sure that we were able to articulate the benefits to the private sector. You roll those things all together, and 2 years worth of effort, and we arrive at where we are today. And I think we have happy potential partners and definitely happy participants.
Well, David, we've already started talking about open access, and I think probably most of the audience has heard the term before, but maybe you can fill us in a little bit on what you have in mind in terms of how Bozeman will be approaching open access and what that means.
Sure. So we've been working with some consultants from Design 9 who have done this in a number of other communities, but we really like their open access approach because what they're doing is building what's primarily a layer two open access model, where we're leasing circuits to providers to provide a wide variety of services. And as we all know, broadband's not just limited to the internet as a service. There's all kinds of other services. And I think as we open up the network model of what we do here, we're going to see all kinds of services we haven't even thought of, because it would be too difficult to deliver them with the network services that we have today. And so, our goal is to facilitate as many providers as possible, providing a wide diversity of services in Bozeman, and really use the network as infrastructure and as an opportunity for people to provide more and better services in Bozeman.
And do you have any commitments from existing service providers or entrepreneurs who are excited to offer services, or is it too early in the game yet?
We have had two that have made that kind of a broad commitment in writing to the project. TCT, which is Tri-County Telecom, they actually are one of the providers on the city of Powell, Wyoming's open access network. And then there's another small carrier called Treasure State Internet that's also committed to ride the network if we end up building it. And so that's just two, and we've had a number of discussions with other companies.
And Britt, I'm curious, in terms of the different services that David just mentioned that would be available, you know, as an economic development person, I'm curious if you have a sense of how existing businesses are excited about this, or if you have any sense of how this might encourage new businesses to come into the region.
Well, I'm optimistic on both fronts. The businesses that we talk to and the ones that have appeared at the public hearings when we've discussed this topic before our local elected officials have all expressed a desire or need to have better services here locally in the Bozeman area. And so they're excited in the sense that we've gotten our plan through the commission. We've got a unanimous approval for what we've been talking about for so long, and now our challenge is to put it in the ground and make it functional. But so in that sense, those businesses that have been following this project for so long, including a few that are on the steering committee, are very excited about what the future holds. The filmmaker who won't have to dedicate a computer and a person 12 hours to upload his high definition movies to National Geographic, that guy's really excited about what fiber can mean for his business. The folks that are in our downtown core who are a software as a service company and require the internet to be on 24/7, 365 in order to pay their bills are excited about new and more robust services. So I would say there is an excitement level that's been building most recently over the last couple of weeks, because we've been slowly, methodically, and thoughtfully working through this process, as Anthony describes, getting all the stakeholders around the table numerous times to understand what the pros and cons are, where we can make the proposal better. And so now that it's been sort of unleashed on the community, I feel like there's a lot of interest yet to be generated, but it seems to be happening.
Anthony, I'm curious how this will impact your business. Is this something that you're just dying for, or is this just a matter of you would like to have a reliable, redundant kind of connection that would supplement what you already have?
Frankly, a little bit of both, but very much for the business impact. This will actually be our second round of working with such a fiber project, first of which was actually just about 80 miles west over in Butte, Montana. Last year, they lit up, I think it was about a 30-mile fiber ring, redundant ring. They definitely had their eyes on economic development, much as we do. And the advantage for Hoplite Industries, or I think really any kind of endpoint or end customer-focused business, is that this is a building customer base for us. We definitely plan to be directly connected early on the network. And for the nature of our cybersecurity platform, it's great because we're actually able to provide real-time threat protection even faster, because for customers on sharing capacity on this network. And so what we've already seen is that it's a great conversation starter from a business point of view to say, hey, we're on the same fiber network, we're a big supporter of this, here are the advantages of us delivering cybersecurity, threat protection over such a network. You're able to get it faster and at higher capacity, and we can actually help to defend the network overall. And so we're certainly excited here. I tend to think that with the broader approach that we're able to take here with this project in Bozeman, I actually think we may end up seeing even more spectacular results than we already have over Butte. So for us, self selfishly, that's, there's very direct impact, very direct meaning. And I know there certainly is for a lot of other tech-first and tech-second businesses in terms of just redundancy, reliability, and certainly speed.
Yeah, I'd like to add on to that.
Go ahead, David.
A couple of years ago, one of Bozeman's largest businesses, a company called Right Now Technology, was acquired by Oracle, you know, the computing giant out of California. And so as part of that, there's been a lot of energy as original Right Now people cashed out and have gone on to start new businesses, a lot of software as a service firms in the area. But also just having one of the largest software companies in the world with a significant number of employees in Bozeman, I think put Bozeman on the map as a place where people can do more tech and startup kinds of things in this space. And so there is fiber in Bozeman, and Oracle can certainly afford the fiber that's here. But I think for a lot of these startup businesses, they're discovering there's a big gap between, you know, fiber-delivered broadband services that they can get and then everything else in the market as far as the service that they can get. And I think that's where this network comes in.
And David, could you just tell us briefly then how the network is, what the plan is for financing it?
Sure. Well, this is very much a public-private partnership in terms of how we're financing it. So we're looking at our tax increment finance districts in the downtown, and there's another central business corridor called the North 7th Corridor, where we think this network would have a really big impact in economic development and urban renewal. And so we're hoping that those boards will play a role in constructing one of the phases of the network. And then we're also looking at making this more like a business. I think where a lot of these open access networks have failed, they said, we're going to build an open access network to every business and residence in our entire community, regardless of demand. And that's not what we're doing. In fact, part of the reason we've set this apart from the city and recommended creating an outside entity to manage it is we don't want, the city doesn't want the risk of doing that, but we also think that this needs to run like a business and make decisions like a business. And so we're hoping to use our financial performance to go out and get outside financing from just the financial sector. We think this business can stand on its own, and so that's going to be a big portion of what gets this started.
One of the things that we saw in our coverage from here in Minnesota as we're paying attention is that it seems like you have a pretty friendly relationship with the existing providers in the community. And I'm curious if you can just tell us a little bit about how that came about. David, I think you were going to jump in on this one.
Sure. Well, I think it started a long time ago when we first started this. And I think Anthony talked earlier about the socialization aspect of, we've really been making a big point of trying to explain to service providers and the general public about how this is an opportunity. This is a project that can raise everyone's boats. And so I think we've been really careful to meet with providers on a regular basis, to return their phone calls, to not see them as a threat, to not treat them as a threat. Because honestly, we think that everyone could benefit from this. And will all the providers ride the network? Maybe not, but we think there's an opportunity there, and so we've really tried to be inclusive throughout this project and say, this is not a threat to your business. In fact, it's an opportunity.
And Anthony, I'm curious in terms of the network reach. You've been involved for a long time with it. Do you have a sense of if it will ultimately span the entire community, or will it just be based on demand, or do you see it more or less focusing on the local businesses?
You know, the first, and again, we can speak in terms of phases, and I think that'll mean something different to pretty much everyone, but the three phases we have them laid out up front are primarily focused on capturing business, because obviously in terms of higher dollar services, higher need for differentiated services, I think it's clear that, you know, business is the way to focus there. We will not, however, be ignoring the residential component, and simply we're not going to use the residential piece as project or financial justification. Longer term, as we've taken a look at, as you take a look at pro forma today, I think it's pretty clear that especially as we start to get to year five, even with very conservative take rates on the network, we're excited about this. We get to the point that the network is not only handling its own cash flow and OA&M, but we can then begin to plow profits, revenue back into expansion. And so I think over time, I think kind of years 5 through 10, I think that's going to be the point at which we're, even if we don't achieve ubiquity with it, we'll be pretty darn close. and driving to that end to where it's simply a matter of if you have a house in Bozeman, chances are better than not, you'll be on or very close to the network. So I think that ubiquity is really kind of the end state. But upfront, you know, I think the goal is to capture as much in terms of business take rate as we can, and then thoughtfully yet quickly, you know, build out from there to expand the reach.
Excellent. Well, I want to give you each an opportunity to say any last thoughts you may have. So any thoughts, any final thoughts?
Sure. I guess I'll just take a stab at that. Chris, thank you very much for having us on your podcast. It's a great opportunity to talk about what we're working on here in Bozeman. And we're pretty excited about what the future holds for our community and for the growth of our town and the businesses and the lifestyle that we're able to provide here. And we think that this open access fiber network is another reason of the several that we think we already have, why good businesses, tech businesses, and businesses of the 21st century would look to our town as a place to come and create jobs and diversify the local economy. So thank you very much for the opportunity to talk about that.
Well, thank you, Britt, and thank you, David and Anthony. I think a lot of our listeners will be very interested to watch and see how this continues.
Thank you. Thank you.
Follow the Bozeman tag at muninetworks.org for specifics and stay up to date on this project. Send us your ideas for the show. Email us at podcast@muninetworks.org. Remember to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at Community Nets. Thank you once again to Person for the song Blues Walk, licensed through Creative Commons. And thank you for listening. Have a great day.